Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi! Thanks for joining me for episode 24 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky, life-loving creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, as I have mentioned week after week, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And, of course, I put a link to it on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. I also have a new ebook coming out any day now. I think I actually thought it would be out already. And this episode is a tiny bit to do with that, as you will see in a moment. But anyway, that book is called Practical Magic, A Kick-Ass Guide to Conscious Manifestation. And hopefully I will have that ready for you before next week's episode, and we can talk all about that then. And I don't even know where to begin. About that book, Practical Magic, A Kick-Ass Guide to Conscious Manifestation, I have been working on it for a while because I have found that I've gotten so busy that I just don't have as much time to write as I used to, because Kick-Ass Witch, and this is something that I created myself, I understand. I took on a whole lot more than I could chew, as I am commonly prone to do. Kick-Ass Witch has gotten so big, and I'm the only person that runs Kick-Ass Witch. I answer every email and comment, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter. I'm on two Facebooks, and I have two YouTube channels, and then I do this show every week, and then people write to me, many people write to me every single day, and then you may know I'm doing this 4-on-40 thing coming up. So basically, I am working like all the time. I'm either doing something here at the house. You know, I am the primary housekeeper and cook here at my house, and I take care of a special needs son, or I'm online working and talking to you all, which I love, but something happened last week, and I found myself succumbing to the pressure, and I really started getting crazy because I started this new, it's called 4 on 40, and it's me, my friend Dawn Champagne, Lenora Henson, and Suzanne Michelle, all amazing women. We decided, we did privately, we had this talk where, because we're all turning 40, a couple of us have already turned 40, but we're right around the same age, and we had like a private online chat one day about what that means to us, and then we decided it'd be fun to do that publicly. And what started out as an innocent idea got Joanna Peabody'd. I don't know if you listened to my Aggro Man episode, but I talked about how my nickname is Joanna Peabody. And I totally, like, Joanna Peabody'd all over that and turned it into something much bigger than we originally talked about it being. And it launched last Thursday, and the countdown to that, I was trying to build the website, and I was trying to get a press release out and make a big deal about it. And I got so caught up in creating the website, for example, that I was, like, falling behind day after day and freaking out. I ended up, in the end, just deleting, like, 3/4 of the content because I realized simplicity is better. Keep it simple, sweetie. So I basically wasted my time trying to make everything perfect and as compelling as possible, and then ended up just deleting it all anyway. But I had worked myself into a tizzy, like trying to get ready for this Thursday countdown and then trying to do all the other things that I was doing, that I don't think I was breathing. I was just like running from doing the dishes to, you know, working on the website to doing Kick-Ass Witch and then coming here and doing the radio show and just like, woo, like Tasmanian devil that I was so stressed out. And it didn't take me, and it took a few days until this one moment in the kitchen when I finally realized what a maniac I had become. I live with three cats that I also happen to be allergic to. So they're not allowed to, like, jump up on the furniture where I sit, which is unfortunate because I love snuggling with my cats, but it just makes me itchy and sneezy. And then they're cats, you know. They like to do things like dig in the trash can and stuff like that. So my go-to way of managing that is to just be like, no. Sometimes they get a double. No, no. And they know to just stop. And my husband had run out to get dinner just to take mercy on me because I usually make dinner on top of doing all of this. And just to be nice, he went to one of my favorite restaurants called Ginger Grass and brought us all this food home. And then we were done and I was putting the food away in the kitchen. And he was about to throw away this plastic bag and I saved the plastic bags. But my brain hurt so bad, and I was literally so out of words that all I could think to do, it's so embarrassing even admitting this, all I could think to do was go, no, no. And that was all that came out. And he just looked at me like, what the hell, woman? Like, why are you talking to me like that? And, like, what has, you know, possessed my wife? And I realized in that moment that I had just completely lost my mind. I was yelling no at my husband. Like, he was like a cat getting into the trash can or something. And that did piss him off a little, too. But it was enough to, like, wake me up to the fact that I had let the pressure get to me, and I had totally lost myself. And also, I have to say, you know, like, building up to that, I actually was having dreams about people. I get a lot of people in my inbox writing to me and stuff, and I try to give everybody my attention and be present for that because I know it takes courage to write to a stranger and tell them your life story. But I actually had that happening in my dreams where people were showing up at my front door or just in my living room. I would, like, look up from my computer and all of a sudden there would be someone standing in my living room, like, telling me their life story, or they would call me on their phone and be like, hi, you don't know me, but I, you know, listen to your radio show and I have a question. And I was just really, like, you know, it's bad when you're actually, like, dreaming about your work and dreaming about, like, not being able to escape. So that's my excuse for yelling no at poor Billy. And I have not come to a resolution, actually, about how to resolve that problem for myself because I like that part of my business. I like that part of Kick-Ass Witch, even though I know it's unrealistic to keep that going. I know so many of you by name. I know the name of your kids and your husbands and your cats and your dogs and your goldfishes. I know your hopes and dreams and challenges because you often write to tell me all about it. And I am really so inspired by your determination to create happy lives for yourselves and the way that you go out of your way to share your personal stories with me or to ask questions. And right now, honestly, I still don't know how to let go of that, even though I know that's probably the right thing to do. And I feel like the time is coming when I'm going to have to do that or just end up having a nervous breakdown or something or just hiring people to pretend to be me, which is a horrible idea. But I feel unwilling for now to let it go. And not only do I not want to hurt anyone's feelings when they're trying to lay it on the line, you know, to me, but I don't want to lose that connection with you all. Many of you have actually become friends. And I worry, I guess, you know, what if it all gets lost in the shuffle? So trust. I know I need to trust the universe on this and practice what I preach. But this is definitely something that I am struggling with right now. So maybe you all can say a little prayer for me that I can work this out in a way that works for the good of all and feels comfortable for all parties involved. And until then, I will keep keeping on. I'm putting my favorite mood managing and spiritual techniques into place so I don't lose my mind in the meantime. all my little soul-fueling tricks and tips. Hopefully I can put that into practice and keep a lid on the no. And I mean, I really, honestly, I have done this to myself before so many times, painting myself into a corner with my ambitions, that I now have the ability, once I catch myself, to laugh and take it as a lesson, which is why I suppose I decided to do this show today. I just wanted to keep it real and be like, hey, I do this stuff too, and there is a reason why I have read all these books and developed all of these practices. And around, one more little anecdote, around the same time last week, when all this was going on, we also got hit with a major heat wave, complete with a heavy dose of humidity, which I am still not used to. That's like a new thing for LA that we're all of a sudden dealing with, and which is actually still going strong. But anyway, it was really hot, and I work from home. And in addition to that, the AC is out on my bug. So I actually spent a few days working from home back-to-back with all of the windows and doors shut and two puny little window air conditioning units that are not strong enough to cool this house at all, running the best they could, and without going outside to even run an errand because I could not bear the thought of getting into that death ray hot box that is my car. Hopefully we'll get that fixed soon. But anyway, as a nature lover and just a human being, I started to not only feel like I was in jail, but my allergies started kicking in like crazy, and I was itching and sneezing and bitching and complaining until the same day after the no incident, I looked out the window one evening and saw that there was actually a breeze happening outside, and the trees seemed to literally be waving at me to step away from the computer, Joe, and come outside. And I did that. I actually did that, which was a miracle. I stepped away from the computer, kicked my shoes off, went outside, and there was the most beautiful, luscious, hair-blowing breeze. And it was a beautiful end to whatever manic episode I was having for a couple days there. And it brought me back to myself, and it felt like coming home. And that, and nature does that for me, you know. I don't have to go up to Big Sur, my happy place, to get a little dose of that. There is nature all around us every day, and that's actually the moment that I decided on the theme of today's show. I remembered that getting out into nature, even if it's just standing barefoot in my own front yard for a few minutes, is one of the ways that I'm able to come back down to earth and find my peaceful center. And I actually was going to make a list for you as I was standing out there feeling the breeze, you know. I was thinking, this is what I'm going to talk about. Like, this feels great. Maybe if I'm going through this too, maybe other people are feeling similarly, so this is going to be my message. And I was actually thinking I would make a list of 5 things you can do to stop the madness, and so to speak. But really, later when I gave it more consideration, I realized that there really is only one way. There's a bajillions of options for going about that one way, that one thing, but really it just depends on what works for you. And that one way of stopping the madness is to just stop. Stop, really stop. Stop whatever it is you're doing, even if it's just for a second, and get back in touch with yourself, with your true self, the calm, detached center of where your spirit resides. And like I said, there are so many ways of doing this. Yoga, breath work, going for a walk, baking, playing a favorite song on your iPod, writing in a journal, making a silly joke. The possibilities are endless, but what's most important is that you find what works for you, what makes you feel calm and totally at ease in any given moment. And I think it's an excellent idea to make a list of these things and keep it somewhere where you can easily access it when you feel yourself starting to spin out of control. You know, make a list of what brings you back to yourself and include things that you can do in the moment when you don't have the luxury of leaving the office or nabbing a few minutes to yourself. Of course, then you have to remember to actually read your list when one of these moments strike. And I actually have a list like this, and I totally did not think to access it last week. So do as I say, not as I do. No, normally I am really good about it. I guess I just got caught up in being caught up. And, hey, I never claim to be perfect, and sometimes it takes me a couple of days to get my head on straight once I have flown off the rails. And I just posted a quote on Facebook this morning from Wayne Dyer's book on the Tao, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, which I am still reading again. This time I am on verse 42, so I'm actually halfway through. Yay! Anyway, that quote was from an earlier verse, but really the entire Tao is a lesson in not getting swept away in the chaos of so-called reality and getting back to source, that calm center of yourself. So it's really ironic that this happened when I was in the middle of doing the Tao and practicing all of this. Life just works like that sometimes. I don't know, but here's the quote. It goes like this. In the midst of any kind of unrest, be it an argument, a traffic jam, a monetary crisis, or anything at all, make the immediate decision that you will find the calm center of yourself by not thinking of what is taking place and instead taking a few deep breaths in which you opt to empty your mind of judgments. It becomes impossible to mentally flit about like a fool. You have the innate ability to choose calmness in the face of situations that drive others to madness. Flitting about like a fool. I love that because it's funny, and that is totally what I was doing. That is definitely what it feels like when I lose touch with my center. I feel like I am flitting about like a fool. And non-judgment, you know, he mentions that as being another part of coming back to your center. His take on coming back to center is to take a few breaths and empty your mind of judgments. And non-judgment is a principle that you will find in many Eastern traditions. And it's not so much about taking the moral high ground as it is about finding peace. Non-judgment is also closely related to detachment. They're kind of the same thing. And it's about being able to be in a situation without having a judgment on it. So, for instance, you might find yourself in this situation. My boss keeps piling these papers on my desk, and I'm never going to get to it all before the end of the day, and this is just going to ruin the day and possibly get me fired. Thoughts like that create stress, obviously, but there is another way you can look at that pile of papers is just that, a pile of papers and nothing more. You really can get to a place where you have no judgment about that pile. You also don't have to come up with an alternative judgment or a positive spin on the situation, which I also happen to find helpful sometimes. But you can literally just close your eyes, take a deep breath, and release judgment altogether. Just let it go. You don't have to have an opinion about it. Sure, your job may require you to address that pile of papers, but you can do that from a calm, centered place without concerning yourself about what the outcome will be. If you're going fast enough, if it's right for your boss to dump all of this on you, is that even right of that person to put you through all of this, right or wrong? It just is. And if you can just allow it to be and allow the day to unfold as it will without you're assigning meaning to it, you can get to a place of peace, and you can address that pile of papers without whipping yourself into a frenzy about it. You have to do it anyway, so you might as well do it calmly. And of course, this is way easier said than done, but that's where practice comes in. Having a daily meditation practice is indispensable to situations like that. And if you don't have a meditation practice, situations like that can be your practice. Practice seeing if you can release all judgment about that pile of papers. You may have to release judgment several times throughout the day or even throughout the hour, but that's okay. Just keep practicing. Continue to release judgment and see where it takes you. I actually find physical triggers very helpful, like taking a few deep breaths, like Wayne Dyer mentioned. Breath, I think that's universal. That works for all of us. I also like to, and this is hard to demonstrate over the radio, but I kind of stick my elbows out like chicken wings, and then I press the heels of the palms of my hands together to create a kind of time warp pressure lock. And really, it looks kind of strange, but it actually really works. Or if no one's around to laugh at me, I might take a few deep breaths, ending each with a loud, audible, That is amazing, but you have to make the sound. So also maybe not appropriate for all situations, but if you work from home like I do, it is yippee-skippy. It works very well. Mudras can be very helpful in a pinch, and I still really love and use a technique I learned a couple of years ago from Christopher Pinzak's book, The Inner Temple of Witchcraft. And he has this technique that he calls instant magic, or it's one of his instant magic techniques, and it's using mudras. And a mudra, also another thing hard to show you over the radio, but you can Google it. It's basically you put your fingers, your hand, into a certain position. I press my thumb and forefinger together with quite a bit of pressure. And if you do it repeatedly, you know, every time you need to de-stress, and you also practice it during meditation, it acts as a trigger for your mind to relax and to let go. You can also use it in magic, and I use it for that. But today we're talking about letting go and releasing and getting into a state of detachment, and it works really good for that, which I also happen to think is a form of magic. Being able to get yourself out of that like crazy state and into a place of peace. That's some good magic if you ask me. So maybe Google some mudras and experiment around with that and see if that works for you. Another book that I've mentioned so many times here and elsewhere is Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now, and I will continue to recommend it to anyone who is interested in what I'm talking about here today, because it really is a powerful read in terms of understanding the benefits of living in the present moment, which is really just another way of saying coming back home to yourself or getting back in touch with your center. He helps you understand why you would want to and also how you can start going about doing so, which is also a practice. I mean, I feel like I read that book for the first time over a decade ago now, and I have read it several times since, and I still refer to it to this day. And a quote, a really simple, easy-to-remember quote that I really like from that book is, "You are responsible for your inner space. No one else is." Ain't that the truth? You got to take responsibility for what is going on between your ears, because no one else is going to. No one else is even able to. So practice, 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 practice returning to the present moment. Practice every day. Keep your head out of the past, which can lead to depression or thoughts of guilt or regret or shame, and keep your mind off the future, which can lead to anxiety and stress and self-doubt. Just practice taking a few breaths, coming back to center, and being present to what is in the here and now. I think there's something beyond this kind of momentary spinning out of control, which I think probably happens to most of us from time to time. I think there's something bigger if you let it get out of control for too long, and a time when you realize that your entire life in general has become out of control and your life on an ongoing day-to-day basis has become unmanageable. And there are plenty of 12-step programs for people who come to this conclusion and find that they are ready to change and seek help. And if you're one of those people, more power to you. Some people come to this point by just having a complete nervous breakdown, which I can't help wondering if that's just nature's way of forcing you to take a break. Like, hey, you're not going to listen. You're not going to listen to the messages that we're sending you. So we are just going to zap you and you're going to have no choice. You are taking a break. For some people, they may not have a nervous breakdown, but they just get really, really sick and they have no choice. They can't go into work because they're laid up in bed. You may have experienced that phenomenon yourself. It's quite common. Some lucky people have the luxury of taking a long, extended time out to go find themselves. A lot of us say it, you know, with sarcasm like that, because most of us don't have that luxury. So we have to poke a little fun at those who do. And I still think that Elizabeth Gilbert's now infamous Eat, Pray, Love, it's a nice example of that. And even if you don't have the luxury of being able to take a year off work to go find yourself, maybe just giving yourself a weekend off to read about her journey will be all the break and inspiration you need to get back to your center. I don't think you have to take a year off to get there. And that book, upon embarking on the first leg of her 3-country journey, she said, "I'm exhausted by the cumulative consequences of a lifetime of hasty choices and chaotic passions. By the time I left for Italy, my body and my spirit were depleted. I felt like the soil on some desperate sharecropper's farm, sorely overworked and needing a fallow season. So that is why I've quit." She quit. She stopped. That is what I'm saying to do. And I love that metaphor of depleted soil, partly because that particular environmental issue is close to my heart, but also because it's fitting. You cannot grow a healthy, strong crop in depleted soil. Sure, a few plants may sprout up, but they will be nutritionally empty and unable to provide nourishment. So don't let your soil, both literal and figurative, get to that point. Take little breaks throughout each day to nurture yourself, check in with your spirit, and do some pleasant things to bring you back to heart center so you don't end up going, "No!" at your husband when he's just trying to throw the trash away after buying you a nice dinner. And speaking of checking in with your spirit and doing something pleasant for yourself, before I wrap this up, I just want to invite any Gen Xers listening to this who happen to be women in their late 30s or their mid-30s even, and definitely in your 40s, to hop on over to www.4on40, 4 is spelled F-O-U-R, 40 is spelled 40, to come join me and 3 of my favorite women on the planet, really inspiring women, for a live panel discussion on what it is to be 40 now as a member of Generation X, the so-called slacker generation. So not fair. And it's going to be an empowering discussion for sure. And afterward, there will be a live Q&A session where you can throw your 2 cents in. So I strongly encourage you to sign up to attend that. It is 100% free. We are promoting nothing but fun in launching what we intend to make the best decade of our lives with grace and style. Reminding each other the importance of taking a break, self-care, coming back to center, all that good stuff. And I just have to give a special shout to Dale, because I bet you're listening right now, and you rock, and I can't believe you joined our little Facebook group for 4 on 40. You are the coolest dude ever. Much love to you all. See you next Tuesday. Peace.